All right, folks, we are back. It is Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast, and we are back after a little hiatus, a little parental hiatus. I'm Tommy Fresh, one of your hosts, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What's going on, everybody? I appreciate all your patience. For those that didn't know, I became Daddy Juice in August. And so we took, yeah, took a little hiatus, you know, getting used to that newborn life, that dad life. And yeah, we're just going to be kicking it with a mailbag episode this week, Tommy. Isn't that right?
That is right. We got a great episode. You got a little baby over there, my goddaughter. Adorable. Got to meet her. She is just, I mean, she wasn't talking much when I was there. I don't know if she's shy or something like that, but she, you know, she, yeah. I'm sure she'll warm up to me. Yeah. At some point, but
yeah, she was saying how much she enjoyed meeting you after you left. So I'm sure.
That's good. I mean, listen, it was a good time, but we got a lot to talk about. We're going to catch up a little bit and then just do a mailbag, right? Kind of get in the swing of things. It's episode 99. So the next episode is going to be episode 100. We're most likely going to be talking about a game that we will mention during this episode, but we want a little bit more time with it. Kind of lined up with episode 100. It is, of course, Silk Song. Literally, Silk Song kind of got announced. You became a father and... you know, we kind of just started playing it. So, you know, it should be interesting to talk about. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We got some controversy to talk about, some news, some notable releases while we were gone. And yeah, but how's it going? How is, you know, the dad life?
Yeah, no, it's going good. You know, it's first off, it's been great not having to work. For those that don't know, I have like 8 weeks off total that I took off. So, and that's great because, you know, you have to feed her every like 2 to 3 hours, you know, at least like in the beginning. She's about to reach like a month old. So she's actually been sleeping a little bit more like throughout the night, more like 4 hour nap. So we've been able to like sleep a little bit more at night a bit, but it's, yeah, it's been great. You know, she's awesome. She doesn't really like cry that much. Only like when she's like getting like her diaper changed, she doesn't really like that, or like a bath. But like other than that, she's just kind of like looking around, like getting used to the world. Yeah, so it's been awesome. You know, just doing stuff with her. We haven't really taken her out much, obviously. She's like a little too young for that. We did go to the mall for a little bit, but like kind of left a little, you know, we weren't there that long because we were like in an elevator with a lot of people and we're in there and like some little kid was like, why was Marcus coughing so much? We were like, oh my God, like we got to get the hell out of here. so that was like our first time like out of the house really, other than like walking around the neighborhood. We're like, yeah, maybe we'll wait a little bit longer. But yeah, she's doing good. You know, mama's doing good as well, recovering well. And, yeah, it's really just been like chilling at home, watching TV, playing some games. So like you mentioned, some Silk Song, kind of perfect timing for that game to come out. Cause, you know, I've been able to put in a decent amount of hours into it, playing some RuneScape as well. Which has been cool. And, yeah, so she really lately, she's like started to become more active. Like, you know, in the first few weeks, it's just like sleep and eat and doesn't really do much else. Now she's like looking around. We're doing like tummy time, you know, so she's like for a few minutes on her tummy. She's still like pretty young for like anything other than that. But yeah, as the weeks go by, she'll start doing more and more. And eventually she'll be crawling, walking. I'll have to keep my eye on her, you know, big time. But for now, you don't really have to keep your eye on them that much because they can't really go anywhere. So when she's napping, you're just kind of doing whatever you want and you're just hoping that she stays asleep for a bit. But yeah, it's been good. It's been good to have like you guys over too and some other friends. And I'm sure at some point we'll like introduce her to like the broader range of friends and family and all that sort of stuff, but just kind of keeping it like limited. for right now until she gets a little bit older. But yeah, everything's going well. And, you know, it's been an adjustment in terms of like, you know, like right now it's pretty easy to adjust because I don't really have anything else to do. I'm sure once I get back to work, even though I do work from home, it'll be weird. It'll be very tiring, I'm sure, you know? Yeah. So we'll see kind of how that is. Luckily, you know, my mom's retired, you know, and, she'll be helping out like probably every day while at least I'm working. And, especially when mama goes back to school or back to work. So yeah. Yeah. But that's it in a nutshell. It's been good, you know, lately just been watching a lot of shows. Oh, we watched Weapons.
Yeah,
the new horror movie for those that don't know. Great movie. I won't really talk about it in case anyone wants to watch it.
Going blind.
It was actually All I knew was kind of what was on the poster there of kind of what you told me. And really enjoyed it. I keep like freaking out Maria with like just like running at her. It's a great movie, so highly recommend it. If anyone's into horror movies, check it out, Weapons. So I've had time to watch a lot of this stuff, which has been cool. So I don't know what else to talk about.
It's a weird like you're nesting kind of, right, or whatever they mm-hmm. call it. You're just like you're creating your little zone, your like comfort den, I guess. That's pretty cool. I mean, listen, you're making me think like I should have a baby because like it's like every day somebody's like, do you watch this? I'm like, no, I don't. I haven't really watched much. I'm like just like kind of inching my way through Sopranos. You gotta watch that. So it's just like maybe I just start making a huge list of all the things I apparently have to watch and you know, have a baby. just watch
there
them
you
all.
Go.
But yeah. No. That's cool, man. I mean, you know, that's like bringing new life into the world's awesome, you know, certainly, you know, weird times, but that's all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, was weird times when we were born.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, we've talked about that, like my wife and I, and I'm just like, there's never going to be like the perfect time mm-hmm. to bring a kid into the world. You know, there's always going to be something going on. So, well, you can, I was like, you know, not obviously she's already here, but I was like, what if our kid is the one that changes everything and we're holding them back, you know? You know, we, it's like Jesus, right? No, but,
yeah, why not?
It's been good, but yeah, a lot of crazy stuff like happening in the world and all that, but luckily I've had plenty of distractions, so it's been
Amen.
Good.
Amen, but that's cool, man.
What about you?
I've had so much going on. I feel like since I don't even remember what I last talked about in the podcast, but it's been I could look at my like calendar. I see the birth date here, so I can kind of I worked a lot. It looks like that is for sure. Fantasy football drafts. It's going very poorly for me after the first week, except for one league. So there's at least that. And then I got offered to do a spoiler reveal again for Flesh and Blood. And that went live this past week or this week when we're recording. But when you're listening to this the week before, it was a lot of fun. It was fun filming it. You know, kind of did like the 80s/90s car commercial like thing. That was neat. So check that out if anybody's interested. And what else? Jeez, what the hell else did I do? Went to a couple concerts. Saw Amble again last week. And then went to see Griffin William Sherry, who is the former lead singer of a band called Ghosts of Paul Revere that I really like. And he played in Asbury Park at Wonder Bar. It was a very, very, like, not well attended show, but it felt pretty intimate, which was cool. And he went on first, and he was kind of co-headlining with this other act called Johnny Mullinax, right? And, you know, this guy, Griffin William Sherry, is like kind of folk singer-songwriter, so like, you know, pretty chill vibes. I mean, he had a band with him, so like it was good. And he's got some pipes on him too. It was a lot of fun. Went with the wife and my father-in-law, so that was cool. But we're like, oh, we'll stick around a little bit for the second act to see how they are. And now I will say this is probably if it was just me, I would have stayed for the whole thing because it's something I'm kind of into, but I could tell maybe not everybody would be into. And the band's like kind of hanging out during the first show, like, you know, kind of looking around and, you know, watching Griffin William Sherry, and my father-in-law points out, he's like, ah, that guy, he's in the band. He's like, they're setting up. He's in the band. He went to the bathroom like 10 times. I watched him go to the bathroom. I was like, oh, wonder what that could mean. And he starts, he's the fiddle player for this band. And he starts going, ah, he's like definitely coked out of his mind.
Yeah.
Just like, he's like, ah. Everybody else in the band was relatively low key. And then he was just like, going crazy. That was pretty fun.
You're like, oh, okay.
So that was really interesting. They were fun to watch for a little bit, and then it was getting late anyway. It was a work night. What else? Holy smokes, I don't know, not a whole lot. Went to Labor Day party, went to a really cool brewery. There's a brewery in Philly called Human Robot. They really make good lagers. And they just opened up a new project in New Hope, which is near me in Pennsylvania. And it is a half trading card place, like sports trading card mostly, half brewery. So you just kind of sit at this bar, drink beer from the brewery, but also you can be like, yeah, I want to crack some baseball card packs. And they have them like behind the bar for you to buy.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool concept. They had Pokemon too, I think. Flesh and Blood, but we'll get them there.
Not yet. Yeah.
not yet. But yeah, that's it. Tomorrow I leave for Montreal for a tournament up there. Never been to Montreal. Should be cool. By the time you're listening to this, I'm already back. So drop your recommendations and next time I'll do them. But that's pretty much what I've been up to. And playing also, Hollow Knight and Silk Song.
Oh yes, of course. Just in terms of the that like bar or brewery slash, is it a bar or brewery?
They only serve Human Robot beer, so it's just it's not an actual brewery. It's just like a tap room, I guess.
Okay, gotcha. I actually I wonder if that's like a new trend. Like I saw another thing recently on TikTok of another place that was also doing that, but it was less of the sports cards, more of like, you know, the typical kind of TCGs, and it was also a bar at the same time. So I wonder if that's like something we'll start to see more of. Maybe it even makes sense, you know. I mean, drink a little bit, probably spend a little bit more on cards, you know. So
yeah,
you know. Could see that even making its way into the cannabis market at some point.
Possibly, something
like that, maybe. But I think that's really cool. Even as someone that I don't really play like TCGs, but like I'd go to a place like that, you know?
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's like the vibe. So pretty cool idea.
I mean, the cool place, this place is called Doubles, by the way. You know, so like, I don't know why they teamed up with a local artist, I think, who like does like pretty interesting trading card art and stuff like that. But it, you know, it is cool. Like you're just sitting there drinking and the beer's great, right? And you're just sitting there and you're like, I didn't do it because like we were just kind of hanging, but like I can see myself going back there and be like, maybe I do want to crack some baseball cards or football cards or something like that. But
the
board game cafe / bar thing is becoming very popular. I know there's a lot of places that I know Flesh and Blood players around the country will even have tournaments at a place like that. So it is the future. But
yeah, it's pretty cool. And now, I know it's like sports cards, but like Are you just cracking packs there, or like can you play as well?
I don't really have a lot of room to play, I don't think.
Okay.
It's more of the collectible market, right? Especially with the focus on sports cards, it's definitely feels like more of just like, oh, let's crack and see what I get. And they sell like
Yeah.
the sleeves and stuff like that, that like if you get something good, like, you know, Aaron Judge rookie card or something like that, you
Yeah.
can slide it in there. But
Now,
yeah.
that also reminds me real quick too. Sorry, you started playing outside of fantasy something called Monster League.
Oh
You
yeah.
want to tell the viewers about how's that been going? I'm kind of curious.
Monster League. Actually, I meant to look. So Monster League is this like new app that one of my favorite creators on TikTok, and like basically, okay, here's a little aside.
It's because he's a Packers fan. That's why. All
I do
right.
like that
That's the
he's a
only reason.
Packers fan, but I don't think there's anybody. Now, he has some bad takes from time to time, but there's nobody who breaks down film better than him, in my opinion, at
Yeah.
least that I watch. Because you watch like regular talking heads talk about football, like on ESPN, like Pat McAfee or whatever. It's like it's all fluff and they're just trying to get reactions. I feel like sometimes he really gets into the nitty-gritty, but he pushed this thing called Monster League, and basically you like draft three players like Pokemon, and you can't really see it because the light, but you draft three players, a wide receiver, a running back, and a quarterback, and then you have a flex slot, another running back slot, and a wide receiver slot. And the way to get new players is you have to beat them each week. So this past week, I put Sam Darnold, who I they only let you draft not good or relatively not good players, right?
Yeah, okay.
And they all have typing, right? So if it's like Sam Darnold's a water Pokemon, so like if I pair him up against a fire Pokemon player, I will get extra points against them to try to beat them. So I put Sam Darnold up against Bo Nix. Bo Nix edged him out just a little bit, so I didn't get Bo Nix. And I had Omarion Hampton, I think the rookie from the Chargers, put him up against Bijan Robinson. That was a pipe dream. I don't know why I did that. I was just like, I'll get Bijan right away. And then I put Jerry Jeudy up against Ladd McConkey. And Jerry Jeudy had a type advantage. So Jerry Jeudy's a
Okay.
rock Pokemon, and Ladd McConkey is a lightning Pokemon. So I captured Ladd McConkey, and he's on my team now. So it's cool. I think it's a
Yeah.
neat thing. Like, it's not very, like, it doesn't require much work because you kind of have to deal with whatever you're dealt with. But the decision making comes in who you want to put your players against each week, so you can try to get
Yeah.
a better team. And then there's like a at the end there's like a final four or something like that, like an elite four. So I don't know what that really entails, but it's cool. It's cool. Did you
Yeah.
download it?
I'm on the wait list for Android. They don't have it out yet. I thought that they would release it before the season started, but I actually just checked to see if they did, and they haven't yet. So I'm waiting on it. But it seems cool. Hopefully, I like when that releases, maybe I can still join like mid-season or something like that. And yeah, so I guess like when you beat those players and you get them, you can use them in the following week, and you just kind of keep. It's almost like building up your Pokedex, basically, but with
Yeah,
like
you're
NFL
capturing them.
players.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, it's interesting 'cause like yeah, you try to get, a good player and then you're like, can you put, let's say, does it have to be like running back versus running back? Or can you
Yeah, it
do
has to be
like
running back versus
okay.
running
All
back.
right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. 'Cause that would be interesting to do that with like the other league that we're doing like where it's just punters, kickers, and quarterbacks. Imagine that
Yeah.
like as a Monster League. Pretty cool idea. I'm glad you're liking it. But yeah, I think it has potential to like, if they add in some other stuff, maybe even like somehow add in battling other players eventually, I don't know how you do that, but
I'm not.
maybe there'd be a way to do that and you get like some points rather than like taking their players.
I think maybe that's what the Elite Four is. Like, at the end of the season, you go up against similar ranked players and battle them. They gave me a big blurb about it, and I didn't read it because, I don't know how to read. So, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm actually while you're talking about it, I was like, maybe I'll just set up my my opponents right now. But it's cool. You can go in, and it shows you, like, all the different typing of the different... Oh, my God. Oh, that actually helped. All the different typing and, like, what they're projected. And then you can also click on just what's super effective, and it'll show you all the ones that you're super effective against. So,
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
54. Pretty neat.
Floopy floppa. it's cool, man. It's cool. But
it is.
Yeah. We also have another league. This is not a fantasy football podcast, but I created a league called the Ball Launchers League. It's punters, kickers, and quarterbacks. And I looked over at Matt's score, and his punter scored 100 points. So certainly doing exactly what I wanted.
He texted me. I was like, oh.
yeah. I was like, holy moly. But
let's go.
Yeah. I lost to Josh Allen in like five of my leagues. Not five, but like almost all the leagues I lost was because Josh Allen, I was playing them. And he's just the best quarterback in the league. What are you going to do? So anyway, let's get to indie games.
Let's do it. What are we talking about?
We're talking about, there's a little game called Hollow Knight Silksong that came out, right? Right. It is what people are calling the GTA 6 of indie games. Why do they call that? I'll tell you. Because Team Cherry, the devs behind Hollow Knight, teased it like 8 years ago and said it's coming eventually. And then it felt like it was never going to happen, right? And it got to a point where folks just started memeing the fact that it's not happening. And even now, people still meme about it not happening, and even though it did happen. And out of the blue, they're just like, it's coming out in 2 weeks. Boom. Right? Everybody's like, what the hell? This is crazy. So there was a mad dash to kind of a lot of people to like get up to date on Hollow Knight, right? Hollow Knight itself hit its highest concurrent players on Steam. Like, it kept breaking records before Silksong came out, which was incredible. I started replaying
I bought it and then started playing it because I had never played it. I was like, I should probably try to play this before Silksong comes out. So I was one of those people as well.
Now, we're going to review Silksong, but we probably won't do a retro review of Hollow Knight. What are your quick thoughts on Hollow Knight, the original?
Yeah, I put maybe like 16 or 17 hours into it. I was trying to maybe I could beat it before Silksong, but I couldn't. I loved it. I mean, it was honestly one of those games where I was like, I should have played this a long time ago. I actually thought I already owned it, but as I checked all my libraries, I did not. For some reason, I thought it was like free at some point. But yeah, really, really loved it. Obviously, the art style is great. And it's also, you know, it gives me, I know it's a Metroidvania, but it gives me like those Soulsy kind of vibes as well, right? I love the difficulty. I love going into boss battles, like being so close to beating a boss and then dying and being like, I can do this. But what I really enjoyed, which, you know, we'll talk about more with Silksong, in the next episode, but, I love that you can like leave and go try to do something else if a place is too difficult for you, and you could try to like unlock new things or, you know, just get new abilities, get a little bit stronger, and then come back to it. Like, I always appreciated that instead of just kind of feeling like you were almost locked in like the area you were in terms of progression. There was just so much to explore, so much progression in that game that it was just, I honestly couldn't put it down for a while. And then obviously Silksong came out and haven't really been able to put that down too much either. So really, really enjoyed Hollow Knight. I mean, I don't know what everyone was complaining about. I only had to wait like 2 weeks for Silk Song to come out when I started playing yeah. Hollow Knight. So, I mean, you know, it was pretty easy wait for me. And I can't wait for, you know, the third Hollow Knight to come out in a year or so. But no, it was great. It was really great. And I definitely think that Hollow Knight should be, or the Knight, I should say, because people get upset when you call him Hollow Knight. should be added to Smash. I think that'd be pretty cool.
100%.
Like a perfect character for Smash.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great game. I enjoyed my time revisiting it, and I'm enjoying Silk Song as well. Now, there is controversy around this game, Silk Song coming out. First, the lesser of the controversy is that a lot of indie games, because it came out of nowhere, right? Like 2 weeks, the most wishlisted game on Steam is going to just drop on September 4th, right? So a lot of games changed their release date, understandably. But honestly, it worked in their favor. They got a lot of press out of that, and they got a lot of wish lists off of that. It made a lot of sense. That's not really that controversial. It makes sense. Like, what are you going to do? But recently, I saw that other indie devs are complaining about the price of this game. And the price of this game, Silk Song, the most wishlisted game on Steam ever, $20. Now, you might be saying, Tommy, that's a great price. You're correct. And it kind of, I think people are worried, or devs specifically, right? This is a very pro-consumer price in a world where we're getting $80, $90, $100 games out of AAA developers. Like, GTA 6 is not going to be $20. If it comes out. But $20 is very pro-consumer. Now, there is some worry about the tag for other devs, indie devs specifically. I mean, honestly, this is a great metric to start weighing against the AAAs, but I could see why some indie devs are worried, because maybe the work and, you know, the time put into the games that they're making is going to make it worth more than $20. And then I think that they're worried that that metric of, well, Silk Song was 20, and that's the biggest game, and there's so much content to it. But I don't think it's actually going to be that much of an issue. And I'm curious as to what you think about it. There's somebody, I'm not sure who this dev is, but they were tweeting about it. Silk Song honestly should cost $40, and I'm not even joking. I won't go so far as to say it's bad. It doesn't, but I will have effects, and not all of those effects are good. Like, I am personally glad it's so cheap for me. It makes picking it up a no-brainer. The problem is that the gamer is a creature very bad at knowing why things cost what they do, right? So I think that maybe Team Cherry had the benefit of Hollow Knight being uber successful, that they could afford to make Silk Song cost $20 when it could have easily cost more if they needed it to, right? So I understand that gamers will compare, but I think usually these games speak for themselves, right? You know, we always look at price a little bit when we review, like our whole review system or rating systems based on price, but we're ranking it on the relative enjoyment of the game and the work that we see put in compared to the price, right? You know, if we're playing a $5 game and we feel like it's $5 worth of work was put in, like, or like in terms of the price tag, yeah, it seems like a steal, right? Same with a $40 game, right? I think we've covered a couple $40 games. I don't think we've done more than that, but that's usually the cap for indie games these days. But I think, personally, I think rather than it being an issue for indie devs in the future, I think it, I hope, is a benefit for indie games, because Silk Song is that beacon, right, to AAA players saying, hey, you don't have to spend like so much money on a game that is the same game that they released last year, except with an updated roster, or it's just Call of Duty whatever the heck number it is, yada, yada, yada. Like this, you can get really good value and great experiences from indie games that are always, almost always going to be cheaper than these AAA games. And that's what I think. I hope I'm right. And I hope that these indie devs' fears aren't proven true. But I these indie game fans, in my opinion, are they're savvy when it comes to seeing something that's worth its like salt or whatever. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel like they kind of understand value a little bit better. Like I feel like a lot of the AAA, I mean, people buy AAA games blindly just because of what they are. But I think there's a few things here that are interesting. One, Silksong should not have cost $40. I understand from the dev point of view, there might be concerns there, but the first Hollow Knight was $15. Mm-hmm. So if they came out with Silksong at 40, they would get killed for that.
Yeah.
You know, people would be furious. Even developers would probably come out and say it'd probably be too much. So I don't agree with that. You know, I think all in all, yeah, it's a good thing that Silksong from the developer and consumer side is $20, because I never really heard these conversations happening when Hollow Knight was $15,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, that this is like, you know, not anti-dev, but this is like an issue for other indie developers, because Hollow Knight was also a fantastic game and, you know, won a lot of awards, things like that. So I think it's kind of interesting. I also see there's a quote here from the Lone Fungus developer, which I believe I played the demo of time ago, another Metroidvania, saying that they were going to price their game at $20 as well. And they're wondering what should they price it at now because of Silksong. And they said they're not really able to give it away for free or make it like that much cheaper. But I really think in the long run, you know, this stuff, it's a net positive. The article also talks about how Baldur's Gate 3 was priced, I believe, at like $70. But there was a similar kind of conversation online about just the quality of that game and how it's totally worth $70, because there's just so much content in Baldur's Gate 3. It won a bunch of awards, it won Game of the Year. I believe it did. I never played Baldur's Gate 3, but I know there was a lot of love around it, and there still is. So there was almost like this other conversation of like, no other developer will be able to live up to how much content they put into a full price game here. So I think it's fine that Silksong's priced how it is. I was very happy to hear it. Obviously, very consumer friendly, and I get that, you know, some developers might be concerned because now it's the new benchmark, but there's always going to be a benchmark with mm-hmm. these sort of things. You know, we're all, like you said, like on the show, we're always talking about price. We're comparing it to other games, and how they're priced. It's an important part. And I think there's this like balance that these other indie devs need to find where, you know, maybe you're not able to sell your game as cheaply as like Hollow Knight, but I'm sure that you can maybe get a little bit closer to that price range and balance it in terms of like the content, the effort you put in, even if you have to delay your game and maybe add in some more. So I don't know. I feel like there is a balance that can be found. Now I'm not a dev, so I know there's a lot of factors that come into it. I know like Steam gets a cut, these other platforms get a cut as well. But I think that, it's just a net positive at the end of the day. Like you said, like, you know, fans of indie games understand value maybe better than fans of AAA games. And I think that, you know, Silksong being $20 is such a good thing for the indie game industry. You know, there might be this wave of these other games coming out and people then comparing it to Silksong, but that'll eventually die off until another game kind of takes its place. And mm-hmm. as you're like, wow, look at the value here with this game. I mean, I can even think of, you know, a few games that people are like, wow, this game was only you know, a few dollars, and look how much like content was in here. Like, I know like Abiotic Factor is a really popular one right now. That's like a $35 game, but it's got like 200 hours worth of content, like unique content in it. You know, there's also games where people are like, this is only a few bucks. I mean, we played like the Norbapalog, right? Mm-hmm. We played like Balatro. Like, how many hours have you put into Balatro? That's only like a $12 game. And, you know, we've compared other games to it before in terms of price point. But I think at the end of the day, if there was a game out there that had better gameplay than Balatro, we would pay double the price of what Balatro costs. Yeah. If that's what, if it really was that better of an experience. So, I don't really agree with like Silk Song should be costing twice of what it costs now, because it just doesn't make sense with it being a sequel to a game that only costs $15. And I think, yeah, it'll eventually, there'll be something else that takes its place. That's another thing to compare it to. But I think it's all in all, like you said, there's a lot of press. I kept seeing articles of like, these indie devs had to change their release date, right? These indie devs, like all the, these indie games needed to like push their game back by a month. I think that that it, again, is like a net positive, because there were so many games in there that I never really heard of, didn't even know were coming out. Like, I didn't even know Lone Fungus was going to be priced at like $20. But like, if playing the demo, I'd be like, yeah, that's, I'd say that's a fair price for that game, maybe $15, yeah. You know, but I wouldn't go less than that. Like, I think that's fine. So yeah, you know, I don't really have a, I don't know. I think that other dev, I don't know who they are either, but it just doesn't make sense to me that Silksong would be priced that high for kind of what it is. Now, if it was like, this was just like base Hollow Knight, and just saying like, you know, it, let's say it was coming out to like, I mean, what it did, it came out with like awesome reviews, right? It was like $15. If that was about the original one, I could maybe see that, if like it really was like causing these ripples. But Silksong, like you said, it kind of built up this like, it's almost like Half-Life 3 level like legend about it. And so when it comes out at $20, it just makes all these ripples in the industry. So it's a little bit of a different story with a sequel here. But anyway, yeah, I didn't actually see that people were complaining about the price of it. Developers were complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is interesting that like some developers have been concerned about their own game and how they should price it. But honestly, I think if you delayed your game, you know, a few months, maybe people probably won't compare it to Silksong anymore. There's going to be something else that comes out. Or there's just, it's going to be less kind of comparisons. As long as you're not like, you know, pricing your game at like a AAA price, I think people would be fine with whatever you kind of price it at. But
yeah,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's why we do the show too.
Right? Yeah, yeah. That's why. I mean, yeah, listen,
so we gotta tell you the value.
Yeah, and like we try to highlight ones that maybe people aren't like looking at too as well. You know,
yeah,
we've definitely had a few like hidden gems, I felt like, and I think it's just like these devs, I think it's probably a knee-jerk reaction, right? Like, holy shit, Silksong's huge. Yeah. It's $20. What am I going to do? I was going to price it the same thing. I totally get that. I would feel the same way. You put a lot of work into this game that you're making, and all of a sudden it feels like, well, how am I supposed to compete with that? Reality is, you're not. Just have confidence in your game, right? If it's a good game, and you put the appropriate amount of work, and your vision is complete, it's going to be worth it, whatever you price. Well, not whatever you price, but like whatever you think is a fair price. So that is what it is. Some other news here, though. Pokemon and Nintendo, they picked up a new patent. What is this?
Yeah, so I think most gamers think about the patent from the Lord of the Rings, Shadow of War, and Shadow of Mordor games of the Nemesis system. That is a patent that WB owns those games, I think. I honestly don't remember, but anyway, it's this Nemesis system that people really loved that can no longer be in other games, and it hasn't really been utilized since those Lord of the Rings games. So Nintendo is now kind of throwing their hat in the ring, and I'm sure that they've had some other, you know, patents that have been at this level before, but most recently, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company have picked up a patent on summoning a character and letting it fight another character. Now, this apparently stems from the PAL World disputes that have happened, but this also applies to a lot of different games, right? There's a lot of games where you might summon a character to fight another character. Even Elden Ring is in the game where you can summon a character to fight another character. So a lot of people are upset about this. It seems anti-creative, anti-consumer, anti-developer. And, you know, I don't know, you know, we do know that Nintendo likes to kind of put their foot down on a lot of things. We'll see how, you know, if this is just for kind of something with PAL World, or if they're really going to spread this out to like every game where this applies to. But I don't know how, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I think that game mechanics should never be patented, right? Because it's, I understand that Pokemon, you know, is the most well-known thing that does this, but I don't think they were the first game that ever did this. I don't think that they, you know, they could patent a bunch of other basic mechanics and it wouldn't be the first time that a game had done those things. I just feel like it's very, yeah, just anti-developer, anti, like, I don't know, anti-consumer. It's just a really crappy thing to do. And I don't know, you know, I'm assuming it's just for PAL World, but again, this could be applied to a lot of different games. And yeah, I'm a firm believer that like game mechanics should never be patented, because that's how you get great games. People iterate upon other game mechanics from other games. I mean, Expedition 33, right? I mean, if turn-based combat was patented, that game would have never existed, right? Yeah. And they obviously built a lot on a lot of different things and iterated, and it was a beloved game. So I mean, if poker was patented, we wouldn't have got Balotro. Like it just seems like terrible. I don't know what else to say about it, but what are you thinking about this?
Well, here's the thing about Pokemon, and maybe Nintendo realizes this, and the Pokemon Company also realizes this, and whatever, like Game Freak, whatever the heck they do. Doesn't seem like much, to be honest. They know that Pokemon as a video game franchise is going to die, right? Eventually, these second-rate games that they put out, and, you know, they're not doing anything except selling more Pokemon cards. In my opinion, they have not made any huge strides in terms of any kind of like graphics or even just gameplay, right? Like this is, you know, whatever. Yeah, you could ride a Pokemon and whatever, it was the X and Y. You could ride it like a motorcycle. And then they did Arceus, yeah, right? The open world one. I was excited for that. I was like, open world Pokemon, that sounds awesome. I played it, sucked. Like, it was really bad. The last Pokemon game that I played that I actually thought, I was like, oh, maybe this is going in a good direction. It's still staying true to its roots. And that was the Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee ones. The remakes of Blue and Red that, you know, just had a different twist on how you catch Pokemon and train them, yada, yada, yada. And whatever, it wasn't the best game, but it still felt like a leap in a way. So I think they know that this video game franchise is not going to get better quality-wise. So they want to make sure that they can't lose that market share, right? I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of like anti-creative, anti-competitiveness. Sure, PAL World probably took it a little too far, right? Certainly. But this to me feels like, all right, well, we're gonna sink the ship altogether, right?
Yeah.
And just like nobody's gonna be able to do this. and we're never going to be forced to ever make better games. And you know what? The Pokemon card side of things is going to boom. I'm sure it's going to continue to boom. Not even sure if they still do the anime, but maybe they do, and it's probably fine. But long gone are the days of these Pokemon games being like truly good, and in my opinion. And I mean, I would say, I know there's some fans of the DS ones, but I would say I haven't really truly, I played almost every iteration of Pokemon until the last one. I was like, okay, that this is a little bit too far. I haven't played a good one since the Game Boy Advance, a truly good one, right? And I fear that this is kind of where that franchise is going, because it's a beloved franchise, IP, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, in the video game world, I think it's over. It's over for them. And this probably is a little bit of hyperbole, but I think I'm out. I'm out on Pokemon video games, I think. Especially with this. This is just brutal.
It's a shame, too, because I feel like it's one of those franchises where, like, the fans of the game see so much potential and Nintendo just doesn't, like, capitalize on it in the right way. Like, yeah, open world Pokemon sounds really cool, but you have to do it right. You know, you have to make a Breath of the Wild-esque Pokemon game. You can't just make it open world with nothing to do in between. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there's a million different things you could even do with Pokemon that, yeah, I just feel like they're, yeah, I agree. Like, it feels like they're just like, okay, if I don't know, maybe with how things are going with the Power World dispute, they'll like, all right, no one's going to be able to have this ability now. If you guys are trying to take it, we're just going to make it so no one can do it. Mm-hmm. And then just, yeah, it's a shame because they're so rooted in nostalgia and like fun, right, for so many people. But these things are just kind of ruining that. And yeah, I honestly, I have just been, you know, more into, I was playing it for a bit. I might even go back to like PokeMMO. Like, let me just play a fan made Pokemon game where like there are things in it that I want, and I want like an MMO version of Pokemon, and the fans have made it. So that's what I'm kind of where I'm at right now, as well as I'm kind of done with Pokemon. And you know, we'll see if they ever kind of win me back, but yeah, just kind of done with them for the minute.
It's an uphill battle, but you know what, it is what it is. But we do have to get to some listener questions for the mailbag.
We
went hard in there, especially with Silk Song. But we got a ton of questions. First one comes from R. Carp, who asks, "What knocks your socks off?"
I'll tell you, a good pina colada. You know, I love pina coladas, and when I get a good one, I'm just like, oh. That's a good one. Also, like a really good pickle.
Okay. Know? Yeah.
Like if I got like a nice pickle that I could eat, like walk around with, something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of things that could knock my socks off.
Yeah. But I mean, I think
those are two.
Yeah. A good film will knock my socks off, I think. But yeah. if I'm thinking like a consumable, you know, you go into a nice Irish pub and you get a Guinness and a shot of whiskey.
Yeah.
It just like is like a mood fixer. Now that could be probably signs of alcoholism, but stay with me now. I got no more PP. No, it is. I think it is. I think it could just be like such like a mood fixer. For like after a nice long day, you just like boom, boom, nice creamy Guinness. Wash the shot down with the Guinness. Good stuff. Thanks for the question, R. Carp. Now,
yeah,
we got a bunch of questions from Capolo. We got a bunch of questions from K-More. First one from Capolo: preferred method of caffeine consumption.
So I really only consume it in two ways usually. I actually bought like a 12 pack of these before we had the baby. Celsius, I don't really drink energy drinks a lot anymore, but Celsius are some that don't make me, usually when I would have them, I'd feel like my heart going crazy. These ones, I don't feel that at all. So I've been having some Celsius, but I also I drink like unsweetened tea, Pure Leaf specifically. I have that on my Amazon subscribe and save. It gets delivered every 2 weeks. I probably drink those mostly, that has like caffeine in it, but those are like the only two things I have. You know, I don't really drink the energy drinks somewhat consistently, but consistently I have Pure Leaf. That's probably, yeah, I don't know. Cool. I guess that's my preferred method of caffeine consumption, but it doesn't really like get me energized. Like if I'm looking for like, you know, something that I need to stay up with, I have the Celsius. So I guess that's more preferred if I need to have it. But you're a caffeine guy. You try a lot of different caffeine things. Yeah. So what is that? The zero sugar monster? Is that it right there?
The zero sugar monster. I have two of these a day. One when I wake up, and one usually after work to kind of like get me to the finish line. it's a lot. I should cut back. I try to quit every once in a while. And if I try to quit that, I go straight to black coffee. And that is what I prefer if I'm going to be healthier, which I probably should. I should definitely cut back, but it's hard for me to do black coffee in the warm months. So when it starts getting cold, that's usually I have a better shot of quitting Monster. But golly, the headaches weaning off of caffeine, brutal. So
yeah,
that's why I don't do it. Next one, I'll answer this one quickly. Are you going to review Catanaut, which is a game from, this is also another question from Capolo. Capolo's friend dev this game. It's out. Yes, eventually, hopefully, we'll get to it. We got to get back into the swing of things. What are your favorite gummies? Also from Capolo.
Cannabis gummies. but if we're just going, I love gummy bears. I'm a gummy bear over gummy worm. I don't know, actually. Wait, as I'm saying that.
Gummy worms are good.
Gummy worms are good. I like putting them in the fridge, too. Get them nice and cold.
Chewy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like to chew. But like, I don't know, like... the Albany's gummy bears are really good. That company, Albany's. Also like Haribo.
Yeah.
Haribo, whatever. Gummy worms. Yeah, I don't know. Probably though. I don't know if you're going for flavor here. I don't really know flavor-wise what I like. I mean, I have no idea.
If I could just get the pineapple Haribo gummy bears. Like if we're going like, I love the gummy bears. I love a gummy worm as well. But like Haribo... pretty much anything they make, I'm down with. Our cousin Dan will eat 5 pounds of the gummy frogs from Haribo. it's what he would ask for Christmas every year from the cousins. But yeah, the pineapple Haribo gummy bears, I think, is like peak gummy to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Good.
Most obscure game you've enjoyed?
Obscure game that I've enjoyed. Obscure game.
I got one.
This is tough. Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
A game called PNO3, which was the GameCube generation. I don't know if it was on Xbox and stuff like that, too. I think it... I don't remember. Yeah, so this was a game, I forget, like we picked up like really cheap at Walmart. I think I was up at our cousin's, what you would call it? Oh, it was just for GameCube, at his mountain house or whatever. We're like, oh, we'll play this. And it's short for Project Number 3. It was like a 2D arcade shooter in 3D. It was weird, but we played through it. It was fun. But I've never heard anybody talk about it other than me and us.
Yeah. That reminded me, there was a game I used to play a lot on, the GameCube called Spy Hunter. It's apparently like a reboot of like an arcade game from like the 80s. It was essentially, it reminded me of like a James Bond ripoff sort of. Also, another one, Midnight Club 3 on GameCube. Okay. Awesome, awesome game. Honestly, let's see, Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. That's what it was called. Just a cool like car driving game. Not really one I played a lot of, but or you know, I don't play a lot of that kind of franchise or type of game, but that was a good one. Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. Played that quite a bit at some friends' houses, and yeah, it's a good one there.
I remember Spy Hunter being at your house. I don't know if I ever played it with you, but yeah. I remember that cover. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think that was like a clearance bin kind of game. Yeah. I was like, that looks cool. Sounds cool. I'll check it out. And all I remember is just driving around in that game. So, yeah. But
yeah, those are some obscure games.
We got to bang through these ones. Let's do it. Are you ready? All right.
Top three juices.
Top three favorite juices. We got, I love apple juice, I love orange juice, and I love guava juice.
Okay. Okay.
Top three. Those are the first ones that come to my mind. I don't know.
Orange juice, ruby red grapefruit, cranberry.
Nice. Ooh, cranberry is great. Cranberry juice is great too.
Well, like those white peach cranberry. That's
the Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Favorite Marvel superhero, DC superhero, and outside of those universes?
Marvel is Spider-Man for me. DC, I love the Flash. I also do like Batman a lot too. But I probably would go with the Flash. Then outside of those, oh God, what's outside of like Marvel and DC that I'm into? Static Shock. maybe I don't know.
I think he's or DC. He?
Yeah, some of them are like are under Marvel or DC. Let me think about it. But what about you?
Marvel is probably Spider-Man. I like the Hulk a lot. Like,
yeah,
I really like that really bad Hulk movie from the early 2000s. It's so bad, but I liked it a lot. I loved how he just Edward jumped. Norton? No, with Eric Bana. The one that they...
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
Ang Lee directed, when he would just jump like 100 miles.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I was like, that's what I want to do. DC, I mean, I love Aquaman. I love Swamp Thing. But Batman truly is my favorite, right? Like, I'm never missing a Batman film. So,
yeah.
And then outside, I mean... the first Incredibles is such a good movie, so I like Frozone. Yeah. I mean,
oh my God, yeah.
I mean, who's better than Frozone?
That's true. Yeah, Frozone's awesome. I was also looking up some here, like Invincible's cool, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Technically, I'll take them. And then even like Kick-Ass 2 is on here. Yeah. Just like it's a fun one. But yeah, Frozone is great. That's a great choice. I'm going to go with Frozone as well.
And then these are from K-More. First, do you think consoles will eventually stop being new and just have the Xbox or the PlayStation?
That's what I'm hoping for. I think that makes sense, but I think that there's just too much, marketing and like opportunity for profit to just come out with the PS7 and 8 that like they'll probably never have just like PlayStation, and then what are they gonna like sell like upgradable parts to it? Like that, at that point it just becomes a computer, right? So I just feel like there's just too much marketing around like this is the PS10, the PS11. Maybe they'll switch the way they name things, but I think, you know, Xbox kind of, like I thought when they had Xbox One, I was like, okay, it's, you know, they've had Xbox One S and X and all that sort of stuff. But I could see them doing another name for Xbox, the Xbox Pro or, you know, something like that at some point. But I think they're just getting closer and closer to just PCs that I can honestly just see, you know, people maybe migrating away from, especially now that like a lot of console games come out on PC, migrating away from like console and just maybe buying like a little portable PC to hook up to their TV. And like, I'm sure someone, like there'll be some company that builds like a console PC, if that makes sense, where like you just automatically syncs with any controller you have, plug it in. You know, I know like the Nvidia Shield kind of does that, but it's like through streaming rather than like actually on the device, I think. But I don't know. I think that they're going to just keep milking that cow. I don't think that they're going to like just have an Xbox or just a PlayStation and like that'll be that. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like iPhone's still doing it, right? Like it's not like just iPhone, right? There's like iPhone 17 is coming out. So I just see like PlayStation and Xbox doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if there's a possibility of it. I think truly what would change things if somebody, because we have smart TVs, right? If they made a powerful enough TV that you just like, well, there's just a PlayStation app and an Xbox app.
Yeah, right.
And now you just like, you plug in you link up your controller to your TV. Like there's like, it's not impossible that that would happen. And honestly, it would just make everything easier in general, right? And like, what is Xbox and PlayStation gonna do? It's like, don't buy the TV, we want you to buy our stuff too. So, you know, it's interesting. But
yeah, I can honestly see, sorry, just real quick, because what I've been doing more of lately, I can honestly see like Xbox and PlayStation maybe trying to do more of like what the Switch has done and like really beef up like eventually a you know, PC quality handheld device that you just dock on your TV. And so it's almost like it's a portable device first, and then like you dock it, like what the Switch has done, what I've been doing with like the Steam Deck. I almost feel like that's maybe the direction they can go, where like maybe instead of it being like PS5, it's just like, or you know, PS6 or whatever, it's just going to be like the PS Vita is going to come back, or just, I don't know, whatever it is. Because I, you know, there's been the Xbox One's coming out, right? They're Xbox portable. So I don't know. Maybe that's more of the direction that they're thinking of going. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting for sure.
Yeah, sure is. This is an interesting question. What's your comfortable level of spice in food?
I never used to be a big spicy guy, but I do love like spicy food, but it still needs to like taste good. I don't want just like the heat. I'm not like in it for that. Look, I love like, I'd say, I don't know, comfort level for me is like jalapeno level in foods, probably. I mean, maybe a little bit more than that, but like I'm going to go to a hot chicken place tomorrow, actually. That's hotter than a jalapeno, I'd say, but it still tastes great. So as long as it still tastes good, I'm for it. I love adding some spice into my food and all that sort of stuff. But like, I don't really eat like Indian food, which I know is like pretty spicy. I know that's more like your realm. So is that, would you say that's like spicier than like kind of what I'm talking about?
Indian food typically is spicier, but it's not painful, right? And it tastes great. Okay. It's more like you're just like sweating. You're like, oh my God. I mean, it can be like pretty brutal. Like you want to like drink a lot, but like, cause like, Namkeen is kind of a Pakistani like spice blend that they're using, which is like, you know, you're just like, tastes good, but you're like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm sweating here. That's usually what the Indian spice tends to be. So that's, I like it hot, right? Sometimes I have to like tone it down, right? Because like I will pay for it these days, but I still really want it and crave it.
Actually, more recently too, I was like, I had like ajita or whatever.
Oh.
And I was like talking to Maria. I was like, I don't know why I'm having this. And she's like, well, what have you eaten today? And like everything I listed was like spicy stuff. She's like, that's why. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. I probably should drink more water and have a Tums. but I was just like perplexed. I was like, I don't understand. But yeah, the spice will get you these days. That's for sure.
Sure will. Is Silk Song Game of the Year? We'll talk about that next week. And our episode is becoming weekly again. We hope so. But we'll see, you know, within reason, right? But we're happy to be back nonetheless.
Yeah, we're going to try to record eps maybe like a week in advance now before. It gives us a little extra time in case, you know,
yeah, with games not, and
yeah, yeah, and all that yeah. sort of stuff. And yeah, with games. So yeah, hopefully we'll be doing weekly eps again. But yeah. At the very least, you know, if we do, you know, we'll try to establish a schedule of episodes mm-hmm. coming out, you know, and so we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping we can do weekly. So we'll see. We'll see. And, bear with us.
And if you like this kind of episode where we kind of just, you know, talk about gaming and, you know, our opinions about it, like we can kind of supplement rather than review a game every week. We can do a game and then an episode like this and then a game and episodes like this. So if that's something yeah. that's interesting to you, we could definitely do something like that because we just like chatting anyway. So, but speaking of chatting, great segue. Come on down to the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't a video game or indie game. And I am recommending an indie game. I played a playtest for a game. I think around when your baby was born, I was like, oh, I got nothing going on. I think it was like a Monday. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, because we would typically record. I'll play this out. I think Local Thunk suggested people play the playtest. Mm-hmm. It's a game called Hold the Mine. It's like a little roguelike game. You're a dwarf going down into a mine, and then you have like a kind of like an ally or like just like another kind of NPC up at top, like the top, that like at a certain point there'll be a wave of enemies and the person up top will defend it like a tower defense. So like while you're digging down, almost kind of similar to Dome Keeper, yeah, Dome Keeper, you're going to be buffing up the dude up top or getting more dudes up top to protect your mine shaft. So it was fun. Cool. I'm interested to see when it's going to come out.
Dwarf related at all?
It is.
Okay, all right. So these are dwarves. Yeah, okay, I might have missed that. Cool.
Yeah, dwarves. Yeah, I would check it out. It's I think the playtest is still going on, so you can kind of check it out. Just like you can play through the first like 7 days of waves of enemies and stuff like that. So, and they're doing updates pretty often. But yeah, that's what I have to recommend.
Hell yeah! I just added it to my list. Hopefully, I have time to play. Yeah, so what I'm recommending here is it's actually called Home Assistant. So this is something I've been meaning to do in my house for a while, but you can do it, you know, kind of anywhere that you're living. But essentially, it's this like open source project that think of like a tablet or something you can have at your house that just like makes your house more of like a smart home. But it's open source and it's privacy first. So what happened to me more recently is I had like a Google security system in my house that they discontinued. So the security system just stopped working. So I had to buy another one, which in my mind, I was like, that's just stupid. Like, why doesn't it just still work anymore? So this, what I'm learning, and I'm still learning a lot about this, is that now I've essentially run this like local network at my house, almost like I'm my own cloud, and I can set up sensors and, you know, all security stuff, all this different stuff, and automate things in my house. So like just as an example, or a really simple one, is that I have like lights in my backyard that I normally turn on with like an app. And I do that whenever I let like the dog out at night. And now I have a sensor on my back door where I have an automation set up where like if it's past sunset and I open the door, the lights just turn on for 30 minutes or whatever. So I don't have to like go into my app and like remember to do that. You know, sometimes like Maria would text me if I wasn't home and she'd be like, can you turn the lights on in the back? And I'm, you know, it's just always like, I was always like, there's gotta be an easier way for this. And I've got like some other stuff like in our nursery. Like I have the lights automatically dim at night. So when you're feeding her and changing her, it's not going to like wake her up, like things like that, that I'm like working on automating. There's like a bunch of different things you can do. I can automate like, you know, when we fed the dog and when we fed the turtle and all that sort of stuff, so that like we always kind of know if they've been fed today, breakfast or dinner or whatever it is. So I'm learning all about this sort of stuff. I actually just had some other sensors like just delivered, but it's all like run locally. So I'm trying to like change all this stuff in my house because I don't want to be like reliant on like another company. Or like, you always hear those stories of the cameras that are in the cloud and people access them online and like talk to your kids and all this sort of stuff. And like, it's, I'm just trying to do it all like, you know, I think, sit more safely, I guess you could say, more secure. So yeah, it's cool. It's called Home Assistant. It's totally free. It's community run. So there's like a tons of integrations that like people on Reddit have just like created. It's all like contributed to the project. And it's awesome. Like, I really, you know, I'm a techie guy, so I really enjoy like kind of setting this up. And, you know, I, if anyone's out there that I know that wants me to set it up for them, I'm happy to do that too. But it's cool. It's pretty cool. So it's something I've been meaning to do for a while. And, I just like, I like the idea of it. So I'm still working on setting it up, but, it's been fun. So there you go. Automating my home. Yeah.
I mean, I might be hitting you up for that at some point. So
there you go.
We'll see. but we're back. Episode 99 in the books. Next episode 100, we'll be talking about Silk Song. Holy moly. You can continue to find me on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about the game Flesh and Blood. And you can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Maddie?
Find me at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I did a RuneScape stream a little bit ago. I don't know. Content's going to be all over the place right now. But yeah, check me out there if you want to catch me outside the pod.
Hell yeah. That's going to do it. Stay juicy. We're back.